names. David Oates. David Oates, as you probably will note shortly, has himself a speech impediment. That is what led David to a study of speech in general. Our speech, our language, whether it be English or any other language, and reverse speech, as you will certainly learn in a moment, applies to all language. Otherwise, it would not be a discipline that could be scientifically proven. At any rate, David's speech impediment obviously led him into studying language many, many years ago, and he has now developed something called reverse speech. Now, if I understand reverse speech correctly, it will reveal, in other words, when you take a forward speech, as I am now presenting to you, forward speech, I hope you regard it that way, and you actually reverse it at the regular speed, every so often there will appear an intelligible statement in reverse. Now, this statement is very dangerous to a lot of people, including not only those who make it, but David Oates himself. He has had horrid things happen to him since doing all of this. His house was burned down. He has received threats. He has been literally of late under siege. Here is David Oates. Welcome to the program, David.
Hi, Art. How are you?
I'm just fine. Great to have you on the program again.
Oh, it's good to be back. It really is.
Now, I don't think I did a very good explanation of what reverse speech is. So would you give us your 101?
Okay. Well, essentially, I'm proposing a brand new theory about linguistics and the function of language. Essentially, what I'm claiming is that the process of spoken communication is twofold. As the human brain is constructing the sounds of speech, it's putting those sounds together in such a way that we're delivering two messages simultaneously. The first message is conscious, which is forwards, which is obviously how I'm talking to you now, and that is being generated by the left brain hemisphere.
Right.
The second message is unconscious, is occurring from the right brain hemisphere, and is literally backwards. It is embedded backwards into the sounds of our speech. So quite literally, as you said, if speech is recorded and played backwards, approximately once every 10 or 15 seconds, and that varies depending on the emotional intensity of a conversation, but roughly once every 10 seconds or so, you can hear this very clear and precise, intelligent statement that my research indicates is what we are thinking and feeling at the time of speaking, not just on the conscious level, but on the unconscious level as well. So the totality of human thought is quite literally embedded backwards into the sounds of our speech. It is a automatic function of the human mind that has previously been undiscovered and unresearched.
And the dangerous aspect is that what is recoverable in reverse speech is the truth. In other words, you could be saying one thing in forward speech, as I am right now,
right,
and in reverse it could reveal that what I'm saying forward is a dead flat lie.
Exactly correct, and the truth can be very blunt and to the point.
And dangerous.
Extremely dangerous. I mean, if you consider our society, our whole society has been molded on well, I was going to say lies and deceptions. I want to get that blatant.
No, it really is true, David. I think that if the absolute truth was always told, society would collapse.
Certainly the way it's constructed now, yes. Society has been built on a false premise, and reverse speech cuts right through that, and some of the things that come out are really quite shocking and mind-blowing. I mean, I have difficulty believing some of the stuff that I find on occasion, but it always validates itself in many different ways. You know, I just heard from a friend of mine in Australia just last week, a murder case I worked on about 10 years ago pinpointed a Pacific suspect for the crime was finally solved, and the suspect was exactly who the reversals said it was.
Now, here is where the real danger is. When you are working on murder cases, whether it be the Ramsey case or any other case, and you come up with reversals indicating a suspect or indicating guilt, obviously you cannot come right out and say they are guilty, but their own words, in a sense, indict them. And I think the proof is in the pudding. Now, your house was burned down.
Yes, it was.
Under very suspicious circumstances not long ago, but there has been even more recent horrendous threatening activity toward you, and a lot of the audience has heard about it. What has been recently occurring, David?
Well, essentially, 2 weeks ago, I received another death threat. The frightening thing about this was that it came from the second phone line in my house. And there was.
How do you know that?
We did a call trace on it. Simply a star 69 on my phone, and the other phone line rang.
You mean the other phone line in your own house?
In my own house, and there was no one in the house at the time. I mean, I live in a barricaded property now. I've got big gates and barbed wire fence around my 5-acre lot. The only people home was me and my three kids.
So there would have been only two ways this could have occurred. Somebody would have been out at the junction box near your house, or they would have been connected somehow in the phone company to be able to accomplish.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, it's not difficult to do that with modern surveillance techniques, or, I mean, there's many ways to access through computers of phone company systems. I don't know what to say, but it was rather frightening, to say the least. 5 minutes prior to that, there was a tremendous odor in the house, the whole house reeked to high heaven. It smelt like skunk. I don't know what that was. And then the call came 5 minutes later. My dog totally freaked out. A few minutes after that, ran down the bottom of the property. We didn't see him again for 5 or 10 minutes. And then, speaking about my dog was severely sick a week later. I got an email that night, threatening to, I mean, I didn't take the email seriously, threatening to send someone around to attend to my sick dog, so it was someone who knew or had done something. And it's been frightening. There's been cars outside the office. We're being under surveillance for some reason. I actually sent my son back to Australia last week because it was just getting too hot here, and so now I've just got my two kids. No.
And I do understand that for the sake of your family, you are restructuring the direction that reverse speech is going to go a little bit. In other words, you are, in effect, reacting to some degree to these threats.
Yeah, I am a little bit. I don't know. You know, my immediate reaction is to back right off on some of my controversial topics, but you know, I'm going to be playing TWA 800 reversal tonight. So, you know, I mean, I want to back down on some of the more controversial stuff, but even though that's what I want to do, I'm still led to doing them. So it's hard to tell.
All right, let us give the audience a good example. I was on a talk show in Philadelphia the other day.
Right.
And the famous Neil Armstrong statement, as he first stepped on the moon, was part of the opening sequence of the very popular morning show in Philadelphia on WPHT, our affiliate there. And it was really funny, David. He played that as part of sort of the opening of his show, and when we got into the interview, one of the first things I said is, hey, have your engineer go play that backwards and recover what he gets playing it backwards at a regular speed, and in the next break come back and play it on the air. And they did, and the engineer's mind was completely blown. You know, I just happen to remember the Neil Armstrong statement as one of the more impressive things I've heard on reverse speech.
Right.
And it set off the whole interview. I mean, there was no denying it. So let us begin by introducing the audience to that now very famous Neil Armstrong statement, if you can do it, when he landed on the moon, what it is in forward and then reverse.
Okay, all right, we've got it queued up now, and he is Neil Armstrong's very famous first words that we all know very, very well.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
We've all heard that time and time again, but I wonder how many people have heard it in reverse, and I predict that over the next few years, what it says backwards will become just as famous as what it says forwards, and we'll run this in reverse at three different speeds for the new listeners, and literally backwards he's saying, man will spacewalk.
Man will spacewalk.
That's straight backwards.
Man will spacewalk.
We'll just play that twice, actually. We don't need to play it three times.
That's really correct. That is so clear, David, yeah. You need not play it at the third slower speed.
And
as a matter of fact, as the audience will note, as you get used to listening to reverse speech, you will hear it more clearly and more easily as time goes on. You've got to kind of calibrate your ears to it. I did that as a dispatcher, 911 dispatcher, and you now have to do it to participate in this program. At regular speed, play it in reverse, if you would, one more time.
Okay, here we go. And
man will spacewalk.
Man will spacewalk.
There you go.
And why don't I run that forwards and immediately reverse? Here it is forwards.
That's one small step for man.
Backwards.
Man will spacewalk.
And phrases like this, as clear as that, are occurring constantly throughout speech, once every 10 or 15 seconds. It's a revolutionary discovery that I believe in time would change the entire course of civilization.
Anybody can do this with a computer. Anybody can do this with a recorder that can be played backwards.
Yep.
It's no special trick.
Yep.
You have been not nominated for, but I know there has been a letter sent requesting a nomination for a Nobel Prize for your work.
Yep.
Your work is now recognized, I believe, by an official government agency, correct?
Yeah, it's been recognized by the United States Department of Labor. It has its own occupational code, both in the analytical side of it as well as the therapeutic side of it. The therapeutic implications of this are really quite profound. My training school has also been licensed and approved by the state of California. We do classes in this. My next class starts the last weekend in January. We're making some pretty good progress. My recommendation to the Nobel Committee has since been backed up by another letter as well. So it's just a matter of time, I think, before we really have no choice but to admit that there is something here.
All right. Well, you are certainly deserving of it, and I hope it happens. David, you have proven to me beyond any shadow of a doubt that speech in reverse actually begins before forward speech begins.
Correct.
In other words, when you were somewhat younger and your children were a lot younger,
yep,
you would compulsively follow them around with a tape recorder and a microphone in their face, and you would record infant goo-goo sounds.
Right.
Which, when reversed, are not so much goo-goo. Would you give us a couple quick examples of
okay,
that?
Okay, well, here's the classic one that is your favorite example, and it's literally me shoving the tape player in my daughter's face.
How old was she?
At this time, she was 7 months of age.
All right.
And she sees a tape player, she reaches out for it with interest. And backwards she says, "What's that?" And again. Let's run that forwards and backwards. When I run this forwards and backwards, I want you to listen very carefully. There's a very definite G sound forwards, but when you run it in reverse, the G disappears.
It is obviously what a child would do if you put something in front of them. If they could speak, they would say, "What's that?" And
right.
And if the audience would listen very carefully, there is, we've talked about this many times, an ethereal sort of something to stand your hair on end, kind of sound that comes with the reversals of
right.
children before they can speak forward.
Right.
Go ahead and do it again.
And you wait to hear the one I got to play after this one.
Yeah.
backwards. Just a classic example of reverse speech. You know, they are speaking in reverse from as early as 4 months of age. They're uttering simple single words backwards, which gradually increase in complexity as they get older. And the next one I'm about to play you was recorded approximately 11 months of age. My daughter's in a bathtub. She's trying to pick up a cup. She can't pick up the cup. And she reaches out to me for help.
Gibberish.
A very typical baby sound, and in reverse she says, David, help me.
I am, of course, always convinced she is saying, David, help me, David.
Right, there is a very faint sound at the end, sure.
Listen very carefully and go ahead and do it in reverse one more time at regular speed, please.
Okay. Yeah, I can hear that right at the end, yeah.
Yep, it's
okay.
There.
And that's just a very classic. You'll of course hear the very definite etherical sound there, which is a very typical reverse speech. It's one of the reasons, I think, too, why it hasn't been discovered before, because it's got this very unique sing-song, echoey type tone to it, and unless you know what you're listening for, it's very easy to miss.
David, it's almost like something coming from beyond the grave.
Right, and I think that's why it got the satanic label many, many years ago. I mean, this first came to the forefront back, well, actually, really, right back in the late 60s with the Beatles, but the fundamentalists picked up the bandwagon in the mid-70s and early 80s. And
yeah, but everybody out there needs to understand that was backwards masking. It was done intentionally and has nothing to do with what we're talking about now, reverse speech.
Right, exactly correct. Yeah. There is two totally separate and distinct phenomena here. A lot of bands will, as a marketing gimmick, will superimpose tracks backwards on their records. Now, this is totally different. This is a natural mental function, language, two modes of language, forwards as well as reverse.
All right, if you've got another child, and in fact, even if you have a few more of those, I'd love to hear them.
Oh, sure. I love the kids one. Here's a kid with a dirty diaper.
Here, Sam, I got a diaper for you.
A diaper?
Yeah.
And where he says a diaper, backwards he says, help me out.
Help me out.
I love that one.
Help me out.
Oh, as clear as can be, help me out.
Sure.
And again, that ethereal sound. All right, David, hang tight. We've got plenty of time to explore all of this. I'd like to get a couple more of the kids with an open mind and listen. Here once again is David John Oates. David, let's hit him with a few more kids here because I love them.
Okay, well, here we have another classic children's reversal. I was over a friend's house. So we moved my daughter from one room to another. We just set up the microphone in the new room.
Here. And again, David, how old was she?
This one was about 18 months, I believe.
At about 18 months. So you were moving her from one room to the other, okay.
Correct. So here we have it forwards. You can hear me moving the microphone around. We're just setting up.
She came down here.
Very typical baby sounds. In reverse, she says, I now come here.
That is so clear. Now come here.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
That's quite all right. Go ahead.
Okay, and here we go again.
I've now come here from utter gibberish to yep. I've now come here.
Yep, and here, let me just run that forwards again so people can see it's just typical baby sound forwards. And that sound there, I now come here. And, you know, once this technology is accepted, it is going to revolutionize the field of child psychology and the language development. I mean, it just raises so many questions. I mean, when does the child mind begin to think and process
language? Well, I think anybody, David, would agree that a child, prior to actually saying mama, dada, whatever the first words are, begins to process in their brain what language is. I mean, that's just, it does not take a rocket scientist to imagine that.
Right.
You start processing and assimilating information in your brain,
right.
And then finally that results in forward speech.
Right.
But if anything validates reverse speech, this does. If you have any more kids, do them now.
Okay, here we go. A little girl playing with her mother.
No, we are going to sing.
Back when she says, our mummy's sweet.
Abnormally sweet.
Do you hear that one a lot?
Very clearly. Mommy was extremely clear.
Right. I don't even think I played this one on your program.
I don't think you have. I've never heard it. Do it one more time.
Abnormally sweet.
And let's just run that forwards again so we can hear the forwards.
No, we are going to sing.
And backwards.
Abnormally sweet.
Oh, man.
Yeah, just such a gorgeous reversal, you know, and I just love the kid stuff. It's probably my favorite topic is the kids.
Mine too.
Yeah, let's see what else I've got on kids. I mean, I'm just trying to pick up one off the top of my head. Where's the one I was looking for? I can't see it right now. Here we go. This is a really neat one. This is from Australia, two Australian kids chatting away about a inoculation mark. You'll notice right at the very end, one of the children says, do you have an injection? She just noticed an inoculation mark on the other kid's arm.
Sure.
An
injection. That's what it is. Make
you
better.
Anyway, she says, to make you better versus to I hated them.
I hated them.
There you go.
I hated them.
I mean, you know, exactly what you would expect a young kid to say, you know.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I recall thinking that myself. An inoculation.
I hated
that's exactly
you tell me a kid
right.
Who doesn't hate them, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
All right. Is that it? Do we leave children now? And
Yeah. Why don't we leave children? I want to get on the TW800 reversals, which we'll do after the top of the hour.
That's so serious. Listen, do me a favor.
Yep.
Go find the political stuff, the very clear political stuff for me. My favorite is the nomination speech for President Clinton. Do you happen to have that handy? Because it'll move us into the adult realm, and we'll do it with politics here.
Okay, this is a classic one. This is a Bill Clinton's inauguration and his first term. It's not Bill Clinton talking, but it's just the announcer. Particular thing is notice carefully what he says about the outgoing Bush administration.
Today, our nation bids a gracious goodbye to an outgoing administration and warmly welcomes in a new one as William Jefferson Clinton takes office as the 42nd president of the United States.
You know, we couch our language in such niceties. You know?
Oh, don't we? A gracious goodbye.
Let me just run that key section again.
A gracious goodbye to an outgoing administration.
And, of course, we all know what really happened to George Bush. He was fired. Reversal says, you're fired.
You're fired.
Classic reversal.
You're fired. All right, what David's doing is he's reversing these at three speeds. The first speed you're hearing is the regular speed, the same speed it was spoken forward, and he's only reversing this so those of you hearing it for the first time can kind of calibrate your ear.
Right, and I've just got a little amusing thing at the end. I've got some echo on the "you're fired" just for effect, so let's just run this.
Today, our nation bids a gracious goodbye to an outgoing administration.
And I just think that's terribly amusing, you know. So, and here we have,
You got to give me the kiss, David.
The kiss.
The
okay,
kiss.
We'll do that and do a couple other naughty ones on Bill Clinton.
All right.
Here's Bill Clinton being talked about how he avoids being unduly influenced.
President, the senator mentioned trial lawyers and campaign. That means campaign financing. How do you personally avoid being unduly influenced by people who give you money or give you services in your campaigns?
Well, I try to articulate my positions as clearly as possible. Tell people what I stand for and let them decide whether they're going to support me or not.
I like to listen to the precise forward dialogue again where the reversal occurs.
Well, I try to articulate my positions as clearly as possible.
And what positions is he talking about? In reverse, he says, she's a fun girl to kiss.
She's a fun girl to kiss.
She's a fun girl to kiss.
And once more.
She's a fun girl to kiss.
She's a fun girl to kiss.
It makes you wonder how he does avoid being...
And what positions he's articulating.
And on the same token, here's one. I don't even think I've played this one in your program either. This is actually a classic video clip. Bill Clinton's giving a speech, and just momentarily his eyes glance down to this very attractive woman in the front row.
Battling discrimination against mental illness, caring for children of veterans who suffer from a terrible disease.
And backwards, he says, sees little breast.
Sees little breast?
Ooh.
Sees little breast?
I don't think I've played that one on your program.
I don't think you have either. Sees little breast?
I mean, you know, you'd tell me a red-blooded male who probably wouldn't think something like that.
I was about to say that. I don't hold it against him.
No,
I mean, it's got to be boring sitting up there doing a speech, and we all know Mr. Clinton loves his women.
Right.
And so, you know.
And here it is again.
Sees little breast?
Okay, now let's get a little bit more complicated now, still on the same theme. Here's Clinton talking about charges of moral dishonesty. And this is probably one of my favorite reversals of all time on this one. This is just a classic reversal, and here we go.
There still has not been a single solitary shred of evidence of anything dishonest that I have done in my public life, not only as governor, as governor and as president.
And backwards, you can hear his southern accent. He says, denied the habits, and I said, dang you. You know, and he's saying, look, you know, I've already addressed this. Just leave me alone. Denied the habits, and I said, dang you.
Denied the habits, and I said, dang you.
Yep.
And again.
Denied
the habits. Very interesting.
Yeah. Let me just run this. What I want to do with this one, I want to run the whole track backwards, and you'll actually hear the gibberish first, and then this very distinct tonal shift as reversal occurs, and then back to gibberish again. And this is literally how reverse speech works. You get this monotone gibberish, and then this exceptionally clear phrase embedded in the middle of the gibberish.
Embedded.
And back again.
Yep,
very clearly in the center of gibberish,
right.
There it was.
Yep, and literally this is how it occurs. And, you know, I constantly say on the programs I do, I'm just amazed that no one's discovered this before. It's so blatant and so obvious. All one has to do is to run a tape backwards with an open mind and open your ears, and they're quite clear.
Now, well, you remember the Area 51 caller?
Oh, yes. You know, I cannot play you that one. My jazz drive crashed tonight. And
I see. All right.
I didn't have a backup on that. I'm sorry. I actually tried to find that before I went to the air. So.
Okay. Oh, well.
We can't do that one. I'm sorry, Art.
That's all right. Where would you like to go from here?
Why don't we look at the Ramseys? That's the current, the topical case. It gives you some implications of how getting down to some of the more serious aspects of this.
Ramsey case, of course, is entering a very serious phase right now.
Yes, it certainly is. And actually, I did a taping with the Gerardo Rivera show on the Wednesday of this week, and that will actually be airing on December the 26th on the
So the day after Christmas, you're going to be on Eduardo, right?
Correct.
All right.
And playing these reversals that you're just about to hear.
Okay.
And, now we get down to the nitty gritty of reverse speech. What can it do? What can it tell us? What can it reveal?
And why is it so damn dangerous? dangerous.
Exactly correct. And
All right.
We have Patsy Ramsey. She's being interviewed on the TV as she's staying forward. She feels there's at least two people out there who know who did this crime.
We feel like there are at least two people on the face of this earth that know who did this. And that is the killer and someone that person may have confided in.
And in reverse, she tells us who the person is. Reversal simply says, I'm that person.
My God.
And once more. I mean, you know, it pretty well speaks for itself.
Just give it to me one more time at regular speed, please. I know, I'm always causing you to load this.
That's fine. I will have to pull the next file up.
I know.
Here we go. Okay, and once more. Who's the person who knows? Speaks for itself.
Okie dokie.
And here we have John Ramsey committing his life to finding the killer of his daughter. And we're just loading this one up right now, and I'll play another one on John after this that will really chill you to the bone.
Mr. and Mrs. Ramsey, what do you want to say to the killer of your daughter?
We'll find you. We will find you. I have that as a sole mission for the rest of my life.
Sounds like something that O.J. Simpson said. And backwards, we now fool you.
We now fool you.
God.
We now fool you.
And once more.
We now fool you.
I mean, this is a revolutionary dynamite technology, and it literally will shake the foundation stones of civilization as it gets out more and more.
And for anybody sitting out there saying, what a bunch of baloney, be my guest, record any of this, play it back, and prove it to yourself.
Oh, sure. All I'm doing is just running the tape straight backwards. There's no manipulation of soundtrack. There's no nothing. You can validate this very easily. If anyone wants to go to my website, I've got a whole site up, which, by the way, we have a new site that's coming online tonight.
I think it may be online already. I'm not sure. If people will go up to www.artbell.com and scroll right down to David John Oates' name, and click on it. If that new site is up, you will immediately be taken there by electronic wizardry at the speed of light.
That link will take you to the brand new site, which Keith Rowland has spent many hours of work working on this. We're right down to the wire on it. The old site's still up at reversespeech.com. We couldn't get it changed over, but you can get to the new site by linking to it from your page.
All right, there you are.
There's hundreds of reversals on that. Let's look at just one more on John Ramsey. This is really a very chilling reversal. He's talking about the outgoing of support that he's received, and just prior to this, which I don't have in this clip, but he talks about a letter that he received from a little girl and how he's been corresponding with the little girl, and then he continues on and says this.
This has been wonderful. So we've come out of this perhaps differently than you would expect in believing that there really is a lot of goodness in the world. And that's been an outcome that I think we certainly wouldn't have anticipated with this kind of tragedy.
Now, you tell me how the reversal I'm about to play can occur by pure coincidence. This is a very long, articulated sentence, and it's actually accessing right down into his unconscious mind, and particularly his unconscious attitudes towards little girls. The reversal simply says, nice little girl, then there's a little bit of gibberish, followed by, let me look, let me nurse you. You get down on my fire. So, nice little girl, gibberish, let me look, let me nurse you. You get down on my fire.
Nice little girl, sister, never knew. You mercy, you get down on my fire.
Okay. Yeah, I heard it.
Straight backwards. Here it is again.
Nice little girl, sister, never knew. That you mercy, you get down on my fire.
And see, this is where reverse speech gets really dangerous, because it's not just accessing our conscious thoughts, what we are thinking and feeling at the time of speaking, but it's also accessing unconscious attitudes and behavior and emotive and agenda, literally on the deeper levels, which we won't get into tonight, but it actually accesses the core structures of consciousness. why we are the people that we are and how our personality and behavior is literally formed at the very base level.
Okay, we have a couple of minutes before the top of the hour, and you are welcome to run in that couple of minutes anything you want.
Okay. Well, this is a reversal on me, which was recorded back in 1988, right when I began my public career with reverse speech. I began researching in 1983, but in 87, 88, I published my first book. I did some small lectures, and here's me after one of my lectures, and I'm literally saying to someone, I've suddenly been thrust into this role where I had people coming to me and saying, David, I want to know what's going on inside my head. Now, this is actually a very good example to illustrate the principle of what I call speech complementarity, where the forwards and the reverse relate to each other. It's actually one of the things that convinced me back in the early stages was this direct contextual relationship.
Sure.
And where I say, all I do is play tapes backwards, we actually hear a reversal that says what happens when we play tapes backwards, and the reversal says, look at that, and there's a little bit of gibberish followed by all I am inside, which is what reverse speech accesses, all that we are inside. And,
I heard all I am inside.
Correct. That's exactly what it said. And let's
all I am inside. All right, David, a question for you.
Yes, sir.
In the world of reverse speech, as you fairly pull each reversal from any forward spoken words,
yep.
What percentage of the time is the reversal congruent with, in other words, contextually congruent with what is being said forward? What percentage of the time?
It's at least 70%, and in actual fact higher than that, 70 to 80%. In the cases where it's not congruent, you will normally find that topic being discussed a few minutes later or a few minutes prior. So if it's not contextual right of those precise words, it's generally contextual throughout the whole conversation, although there are occasions where they just come out of left field and totally throw me for a loop. You know, I've no idea what they're talking about, but at least 70 to 80% of the time.
All right, so 70 to 80% of the time,
yep.
It is congruent, consistent with what's being said forward,
yep.
And that's impossible unless reverse speech is absolutely real.
Oh, the mathematical odds of this occurring by pure coincidence are literally incalculable. They're occurring
right.
Every 10 seconds, grammatically correct sentences, contextual relations.
All right, hang tough, David. It is, we're headed toward the top of the hour. Show with Bill Donaldson, an aviation expert, and two witnesses who claim to have seen, one of them in a Black Hawk helicopter, a missile rise, turn, and explode adjacent to Flight 800 as the investigation now continues. Coincident to that broadcast, there were several statements made the next day following my broadcast about the center fuel tank and modifications to the center fuel tank. And as you are well aware, there are ongoing investigations. I want to read you a letter I just received from Tom Higgins. Art, at 62 years of age, I'm retired electrical engineer from Ninex and also a business owner and live with my wife Edna in Greenport, New York. I'm also a licensed pilot and former owner of my own aircraft. We live about 25 miles east-northeast of West Hampton Airport, the base of the Air National Guard, and upon whose runway the helicopter was landing when the pilot saw the initial flash and explosion. He was a recent guest on your show. The crash site is not more than a few miles southwest of that. Had it not been for trees in the neighbor's yard, I could have seen the explosion. On that evening, at approximately 8:50 p.m., while in my backyard, I heard a low-flying plane approaching from the direction of the Westhampton Airport. As a pilot, and with undying interest in aircraft, I watched and waited to see it as I normally do. This plane immediately aroused my interest to the point where I went directly into the house and told my wife about what I saw. Note, we did not become aware of the TWA crash until we turned on the TV at about 11:30 p.m. that evening, and did not know about it at the time that I saw the plane, although I knew that what I saw was significant. What I saw was a twin-engine Piper PA, that's Pacific Alpha 23 Apache aircraft, with what appeared to be modified wingtips, squared off instead of rounded, as I remembered from seeing such planes years ago. As an avid fan of older aircraft, I recognized it immediately. They only built 300 of them in the early 60s. What struck me as so unusual was the fact that he was flying at full throttle at about 600 feet AGL, which is virtually sea level here. He was headed northeast, and because he was so low and pushing it so hard, I immediately thought that perhaps he was a drug runner. Believe me, I study every plane that passes over, and always have. I've never seen one of those around here before or since. His direction of travel must have brought him very close to the crash site. If he had departed Westhampton, he must have seen the explosion. Was he flying so unusually low to avoid radar, or reporting in to the area? 1 minute after passing overhead, he would have been over the ocean headed toward Boston, which is definitely not a good idea at 600 feet. Its paint job was rather dull and faded and looked as if it had been stored for years and not the object of a classic airplane owner's love. I reported all this to the FBI hotline several days later, but they never contacted me. A similar strange incident occurred the evening before, just before dark, again over my backyard. I was astonished to see either a Learjet or a Citation jet or similar jet doing lazy eights at about 1,000 feet between Greenport and Shelter Island a few miles south of here. Low and slow in one of those is again very dangerous. I have never seen that again, nor since. He was not configured for a landing, and the nearest airport would have been Westhampton or East Hampton, where he could land many miles away. I have very strong powers of observation and usually notice things other people do not. All of my instincts tell me that that twin-engine Piper Apache was running scared or trying to stay out of sight, but why? And why only 10 or 15 minutes after the crash of Flight 800, signed Tom Higgins? We will in the future interview Tom Higgins. It is but one more interesting piece of the puzzle that is TWA, was TWA, Flight 800. Once again, David Oates. David?
Okay, well, we're going to add even further mystery and intrigue to the Flight 800 scenario. I've got 13 reversals to play here.
So all right.
I want to get through them in order. This was from a press conference conducted by Jim Kallstrom of the FBI approximately 3 weeks ago. There's another speaker here as well. Audio is just a touch distorted on this. It was recorded by someone else who had the levels a bit too high, but it doesn't change the message on this ad at all. I'm just explaining. If you hear a little bit of distortion, that's
all right.
What it is.
All right.
Okay, so here we go.
A Lars Wilson's team disengagement at this time from the TWA investigation is based solely on the overwhelming absence of evidence indicating a crime.
Okay, that's the official statement. We have a very significant reversal. He says, nervous, they're spying in my war.
Nervous and spying in my war. Nervous and spying in my war.
You hear that one okay?
Yes, I did, yes.
And once more.
Nervous and
spying him on what?
So he's obviously nervous. The word spying is very significant. What it means by in my war, I really don't know. I believe that some future broadcast with Richard Hoagland, he's going to be talking about a secret war that he believes is transpiring.
All right.
So, that's just leaving it for future reference. And now we have the next one coming up. Now, I just got a slight delay on my computer bringing this up, just a touch here.
All right, while you're doing that, one quick question.
Yes.
So that my fax machine does not burn up, everybody always asks, does reverse speech work in other languages besides English?
Yes, we've documented in three other languages so far, French, German, and Spanish. I have a fascinating story to tell about the reverse speech in German. I had a student come over from Germany to train with me for a period of 2 years. When she first came, she spoke very poor English, and most of her reversals were in German for the first few months.
In other words, her poor English translated to reversals in German.
In German.
Well, that's remarkable. All right, are you queued up?
Yes, I am. And here we have the second TWA reversal.
The investigation I've just described to you was done primarily by the men and women of the terrorist task force here in New York, augmented by many FBI agents from around the country and many others from this office.
Okay, talking about the investigative team, investigating, and reversal says, remember, they'll be lame.
Remember, they'll be lame. Remember, they'll be lame.
In other words, ineffective.
Remember, they'll be lame.
You hear that one okay?
No, I don't hear that one clearly. Say it at regular speed, Ren, and what is it saying, please?
Remember, they'll be lame.
Remember, they'll be lame. All right.
Remember, they'll be lame.
Yeah.
Remember, they'll be lame.
All right, I hear it.
Okay, all right. And the next one is just as significant, and we're pulling this one up now, and... This is still the spokesman speaking, and here we go with it forward.
I don't say this lightly. I'd like to thank the media. The media is the way that we put this story out. It allowed us to stand up day in and day out.
That's a very significant reversal to what's coming up. He simply says, we have the killer.
Looking out with Gulag.
We have the killer.
We have the killer. Who is the killer? That's a very interesting question. Okay, and we'll move on to the next one now. Still, this is all in order in which they occurred. And here it is at this. And here we have. And he's talking about the recovery of the material from the ocean floor.
SAC Joe Canamessa, who so expertly ran the. And coordinated all the activities on the ocean, the dive, the recovery of all the material.
And when he talked about the recovery of all the material, he says, I erased them.
I erased them.
A very significant reversal. I would like to know exactly what was erased.
So would I.
I'm sure many other people would like to know the answer to that question, too. And here we have with the next one... coming up, and this is a different speaker now, and we're running this forwards right now.
Operational or procedural questions inevitably arise, but due in no small measure to the leadership of Director Free and Jim Kallstrom.
And we're talking about Director Free and Jim Kallstrom. He says they sure deal with it.
They sure deal with it.
Well, that would be congruent then.
Right, that is correct. Yeah, there's nothing sort of really sinister in that.
Right.
We're going to move on to the next one now, which this next one put chills down my spine. My first death threat about 3 or 4 days after I first played the TWA reversals on the radio.
All right.
It will demonstrate the extraordinary effort being made to conduct an objective and far-reaching examination.
And what would stop them from doing an objective far-reaching examination, reversal says, we're scared of the oats.
What's that, the oats? What's that, the oats? What's that, the oats?
I don't know what to tell you about that one. It just sent chills down my spine when I heard it. And because I've been fairly public now for 18 months and made quite an impact.
Oh, yes.
It makes me wonder whether there is indeed any connection between that reversal and some of the things that have happened to me recently. And this next reversal is just as telling, and we have two or three more very serious ones coming up after this one.
All right.
And here we go.
All of us wanting to be here today to thank the men and women of the FBI.
And backwards, we don't serve the law.
You don't serve the law.
Oh, my.
You don't serve the law. You don't serve the law.
And, you know, I mean, there's a real trend building here. As you
we can, don't serve the law. Oh, my.
The trend that's building in this whole TWA reversal is really quite worrying me. Talking about spying, the agents being lame, we have the killer records being erased. We don't serve the law. Now we're coming on to this one.
The men and women of the various organizations here in New York that have worked so hard on this investigation. And again, to assure the American people that our investigation continues.
And backwards, we'll beat the crime.
We'll beat the crime. We'll beat the crime. We'll beat the crime.
What crime? And beating what? And the next, we've got two more reversals to play here. The one I'm about to play you now, I've actually got a fascinating story to tell you about this one. Some information I found on a radio interview I did recently when I played this reversal. And we're just queuing it up now, and here's the forwards.
But if it does, we'll jump in there with both feet as quickly as possible.
You flogged the wind.
And the reversal says, we flogged the wing.
You flogged the wind.
You flogged the wind. You flogged the wind.
We flogged the wing. Now, what would that mean?
Okay. Well, I wasn't too sure about that myself. And as you know, I've played some reversals on your program in the past that I haven't known what they've meant. And we've had people who have faxed in or emailed in with the answers. But this one, I played on a program last week, and the announcer on the program, as soon as he heard that reversal, took quite a huge gasp, because he had claimed, he told me he attended a lecture the night before by some top general, and of course I don't have the name of that chap, but who had analyzed the crash wreckage, and he claims that a missile impact had hit at the base of the wing, and so we flogged the wing to punish, or flogged is to harm, to beat.
I see.
And one more reversal coming up on the TWA 800, and I want you to listen very carefully to what he's saying. Forwards, he says, we felt the necessity to stand up and talk about what we did.
We felt the necessity to stand up here and talk about what we did.
And reversal simply says, we assassined it.
The assassin.
The assassin.
And that's it.
See, I must tell you, I believe my ears, David, but I do not believe that we shot down, in other words, that statement, my God almighty, that statement is suggesting, obviously, that we shot down, we murdered our own people, shot down our own plane. And I must tell you, David, I don't believe that.
I have exactly the same struggles with that question as well. And, you know, I've had long talks with Richard Hoagland and other people about this, and I'm saying the same thing. Look, I'm hearing these reversals. They're as plain as day as far as I can tell. They're using the words we constantly. We don't serve the law. We'll beat the crime. We flogged the wing. We assassined it. And I'm going, what on earth? I mean, why?
I know. I'm absolutely willing to believe that a terrorist may have brought down this airplane with a missile. I'm willing to believe variations of that. I'm not willing to believe we killed that plane ourselves and those people. So maybe your reversals would indicate some compliance with a cover-up with regard to knowledge of who did do it. I can only hope.
That is a way you can interpret that. The "we assassined it" that may refer to the investigation, for example.
Perhaps so.
We'll beat the crime. We don't serve the law. I erase them. If it was shot down, and there was a cover-up, then there's obviously a conspiracy to cover it up. And why that is so, I don't have the answers to that. I have got the tapes of the whole week hearing on TWA that happened last week. I haven't even begun to look at those tapes yet, but I intend to look at them and try to get an answer to this mystery, because I know reverse speech very well. I've worked with this stuff for 14 years, and it has always validated itself in my work, in my therapeutic practice, in the cases I've done with the police. And so now I've got this tremendous mystery on my hands.
How many times, David, have you consulted with the police on a case quietly? I assume they don't do it very publicly.
I've done it twice in Australia and three times here in the States. So many times on that level. In Australia, the two cases I worked on, in one case, the reversals revealed the locations of the murder weapons, and the police found exactly where that was. In another case, it was up in the state of Queensland. The police commissioner was suspected of drug running, and reversals revealed the name of a bank and branch in which he had funds.
Wow.
There was a case in Dallas where the...
And that then led the police to that bank and the finding of those funds?
That is, along with other corroborating evidence, yes. And in point of fact, that case actually caused the whole state of Queensland government to collapse. There was actually a royal commission into the whole thing. And that one piece of evidence caused the ring of corruption throughout Queensland to...
All right, David, do you ever get reversals from songs? And I don't mean backmasking, but reversals from somebody who would sing a song.
Oh, sure.
Well, then this would sure be one to go to work on. If you get a chance, I would appreciate it. This is my wife's favorite hunk of music. We'll bumper it to the bottom of the hour. I'm Art Bell.
Today, you're so good to me, I know, but I can't change. Tried to tell you, but you look at me like maybe I'm an angel underneath, innocent and sweet. Yesterday I cried, must have been relieved to see the softer side. I can understand how you'd be so confused. I don't envy you. I'm a little bit of everything. I'll roll into one. I'm a bitch. I'm a lover.
And there are few guests that I have. I have a lot of scary guests, you know. I do. But very few of them scare the hell out of me. Harlot did. So, David, what have we got on Harlot?
Well, Harlot scared the hell out of me too, Art. as you know, I've been flip-flopping on this one for a couple of weeks. I just really haven't known what to make out of it. And this afternoon when I prepared my final transcripts for the air tonight, it finally sunk home. And I got about 30 reversals to play on her, so I'd really like to play all of them. It communicates the whole point. Harlot is basically what she presents herself as being, quite frankly.
And, really?
These reversals will literally chill you to your bones.
Fire away.
They certainly have me. Okay, here we go.
But what we do practice the art of witchcraft. What I am on is a satanic third or fourth generation earth witch.
And reversal on this one is, darling, this is nightmare.
No, I'm going to get the fat man. No, I'm going to get the fat man.
You hear that one okay?
Darling, this is
no,
nightmare. Yep.
Nightmare.
Yep.
Yep. You know, a very nice congruent statement to begin. She certainly appears to mean what she's saying in that
one. Everybody's got to bear in mind the congruence here. In other words, these in reverse talk about the same sort of things that are being said forward. It may contradict or it may confirm, but it is congruent. It's undeniable. Go ahead, David.
Exactly correct. Okay, now she's talking about... She wants an opportunity to meet, I think, some Wiccans who were in her town.
Oh, yes.
They know who it is now, and they have an opportunity, and I welcome the opportunity. I am not going to bicker. I will not get into a rambling discussion about irrelevant things.
No, she won't get into a rambling discussion. Reversal says, where's your gun? Why are you finished?
Where is no gun? Why are you finished?
And again?
Where is no gun? My eye is finished.
She's looking for a fight, you know.
Where is no gun? My eye is finished.
I sense that the whole time I talk to her, an undertone of real serious anger.
Oh, yeah. Very, very angry woman. And the next reversal really goes to illustrate this. She's talking about the scriptures and ad. Adam and Eve, she gets into some fairly deep theology throughout the whole interview.
If you go through your scriptures and you find out in the beginning with Adam and Eve and so forth and so on, their eyes were pretty much closed, only opened to what God wanted them to see at that point.
And reversal is, thou force the venom.
No force in the venom. No force in the venom.
Unusual pronunciation on venom. I almost didn't play it, but in the long run, I decided to. Let's just run that just again once.
No force in the
venom. Okay?
Close, not sure.
Right. That, like I said, a little bit unusual, but I thought it was significant enough to play.
All right.
This next one is fascinating. She was talking about a birthmark that she had on an intimate part of her, and... this is quite a stunning reversal, run it forwards right now.
And it bothered quite a few people. That mark began to slowly disappear as I grow older. I still have it, but not in the fulfillment of that it was at birth.
And bear in mind, this was a birthmark.
Yeah.
And she says in reverse, how terrible I'll get that rapist.
How terrible I'll get that rapist.
God, that was
clear. How terrible I'll get that rapist.
Very clear, David.
Yeah, exactly right. Let's do it one more time.
How terrible I'll get that rapist.
And then she says, serve my soul.
Serve myself.
It would appear, it really makes you wonder about the state of her soul.
Yes, it does.
And the mark and the rapist, who was the rapist? If the mark was on her body.
Does not surprise me.
Yeah. This next one is interesting. Talk about the quickening. And this will, quite a fascinating reversal, this one. This one could bring many discussions. Let's run it forward first.
Appreciate you, sir. I mean, when I first tuned into your show, and I remember well when you began talking, and you began talking about things that you call the quickening.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how right you are.
Okay, I'm going to play. There's two reversals here. I'm going to play them first, and then I want to talk briefly about what I think they mean.
All right.
A little bit unusual. The first one says the mirror suite.
Mirror suite. Mirror suite. Mirror suite.
Do you hear that one okay?
Yes, but I don't know what it means.
No, we'll play the next one, then I'll discuss it. The next one says, bring the world a mirror.
Bring the world a mirror. Bring the world a mirror. Bring the world a mirror.
Bring the world a mirror. That one I heard.
Yeah. Now, Reverse Speak talks a lot about mirrors and reflections, and literally one of the deeper themes of Reverse Speech is that the world in which we live is really a reflection of who we are, you know.
Yes.
And I've read your book, The Quick quickening, and you talk about the acceleration of events and where society is heading.
Of course.
And literally, that is a mirror for who we are as as we are quickening and increasing.
Yes.
She says the mirror is sweet. She likes this. She likes this quickening that is occurring, and it's a glorification of it. Let me run it again.
Mirror sweet. Mirror sweet.
And she wants it to continue. Bring the world a mirror.
Bring the world a mirror. Bring the world a mirror.
Okay?
Yep.
Does
okay.
that make sense now with that explanation?
Sadly so, yes.
Yeah, and it's really a glorification of all of that. And this next reversal, I can only describe it as blasphemy in the ultimate sense, and I ran this one by you off the air this afternoon, if you remember. I rang you
specifically. I did, and it's okay.
Okay, well, here we go. She's talking about the words of Christ.
For many shall come unto me in that day, saying, did I or did I not? Or did I do these things in thy name? Haven't I done all these great works in thy name? Haven't not I believed in you? And he shall say unto them, leave me, you worker of lawlessness.
Now remember the reversal, I'll get that rapist. This one says, got under thy man having a screw.
Got under thy man having a screw. Got under thy man having a screw.
You hear that one okay?
Too clearly, yes.
Yeah, we'll do it once more.
Got under thy man having a screw.
And that actually occurs right at the very end. This is actually on the words of Christ. I just want to run the end section again for
you. I believed
please.
In you, and he shall say unto them, leave me, you worker of lawlessness.
So on the words of Christ, we have this, what I could only describe as a blasphemous statement.
Got under thy man having a screw.
Okay. Now, she's not all that, not her reversals were what I could call totally evil. There is, there is a touch of kindness in her. This reversal really tugged at my heart, and I didn't really know exactly what it meant till we got to the end of the interview.
Well, I found myself 2 days later getting my bags packed and sent off to my grandmother's house.
And this was at what age?
And she's talking about, being moved from her family's house. And reversal, actually, now this is one of the ones that doesn't totally relate to what she's saying forward. It says, be honest, want a son.
Yeah, I must want a son.
Hmm.
Yeah, I must want a son.
Do you hear the emotion in that?
Yes, I do.
And it wasn't until the end of the interview that I discovered that she had a son who had died, and I think she's actually, this is her heartstrings being tugged. I'm going to play it again.
Yeah, I must want a son.
And again?
Yeah, I must want a son.
She said her ex-husband murdered her son. She said that she ensured, it was the most chilling moment of the entire interview, right at the very end, where she said her son, I said, Harlot, you're going to hell and you're comfortable with that, but had you considered that your son will be going to heaven while you're going to hell? And she paused and said, no, I took steps before my son was killed to ensure he would be in hell with me.
And I want to play a reversal on that very section. I'm going to jump to the end of the transcript, okay?
Okay.
My mind, he has gone to hell. Right?
How can you say that? Why? Based on what?
Based on the simple fact that when he was born, I performed a certain ritual.
And she's telling the honest truth. Back where she says, I'll bless him with Satan.
What was Satan?
Oh, gosh.
I'll bless him with Satan?
That's what it says. That reversal sense chills down my spine.
Do that one again, please.
Yes.
And give me the whole forward thing. That one's bad.
I'm actually getting tears in my eyes playing this. I really get affected with reversals like I am on
and
this
if
play.
That won't bring tears to your eyes, I interviewed Father Malachi Martin.
Yeah.
And I brought this up to him and I said, good Lord, Father, how would it be possible that any adult could take a child and be sure and ensure a child would go to hell? And I expected him to say, well, of course, that could not be done.
Yeah.
Instead, he said, I'm sorry to tell you, Art, it could be done, has been done.
And, you know, I've got some reversal to play you on this, that, or even worse than this. It gets pretty rough towards the middle of the transcript. Let's run this whole forwards again. My palms are breaking out in a sweat.
Yeah, I know. I understand.
As I'm doing this.
My mind, he has gone to hell. Right?
How can you say that? Why? Based on what?
Based on the simple fact that when he was born, I performed a certain ritual.
Yeah, I want to make a statement here for the record. All I'm doing is analyzing these reversals. In no way do I endorse or agree with or in any sense at all want to be associated with these sentiments.
I understand, of course.
I just really need to say that, okay? And here it is again. I'll bless him with Satan. And, the listeners at home, you might want to go and sit down and get something to calm your nerves on that one. We've got some worse ones coming up. Let's just play the other one earlier, Be Honest, Want a Son. Let me just play that once again and just hear the emotions in this. This woman is really deeply connected here. Be Honest, Want a Son, the one we played first.
Yeah, I must want a son. Yeah, I must want a son.
But why does he want a son? Okay, let's shake that one out of my system and we'll move on. This next one is one on you. And
oh, a reversal on me.
Yeah, you'll like this one. You were obviously in the beginning of the interview, weren't totally sure how to take this woman.
That's right.
Very interesting.
I
have interviewed, if you've been a listener to the program,
yes,
you know I've interviewed Malachi Martin, a Catholic priest.
Mm-hmm.
Advisor to popes way up in the Catholic Church.
And reversal is, see if you're faking.
See if you're faking.
Yep, that was, you know what, David?
Yeah.
That's exactly what was on my mind at that point.
Welcome to the world of reverse speech, Art.
I swear to you, folks, that is the exact truth. I was really treading through the waters carefully, and I wasn't sure whether I had the real thing on my hands or a fake. That's the truth.
Shall we just run that forwards again and backwards?
Yep.
Very interesting.
I
have interviewed, if you've been a listener to the program,
yes,
you know I've interviewed Malachi Martin, a Catholic priest.
Mm-hmm.
Advisor to popes way up in the Catholic Church.
And reversal, see if you're faking.
You're faking.
And you know, what you just said bears out over and over and over again. There's not a week that goes by in my session work with my clients. You know, I use this in therapy, as you know, there's not a week that goes by where I don't find reversals, where people say, oh my gosh, that's exactly what's going on. That is what I was thinking at the time I was speaking.
It's always hard to... it's impossible to say that for somebody else and to know what they were thinking. You can see the congruence and between the forward and the reversal.
Right.
But in the case of my own speech, I can tell you, yes, definitely, without question, that is precisely what I was thinking at that moment.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on. This is another chilling reversal.
All right.
We conspire to gain vengeance for our master being cast out of heaven.
A very bizarre twist on this one. Satan, he will send love. And the word Satan's very quick. Do you hear that okay?
Satan, he will send love?
Yeah. Quite strange, because forward you're talking about vengeance, unless she sees that that the love of Satan is indeed vengeance. Let's run that forwards again.
We conspire to gain vengeance for our master being cast out of heaven.
Satan, he will send love.
And once again, I really want to stress, in no way do I endorse this or approve of it. I'm just merely doing a reversal analysis.
Right. Well, we're at the top of the hour. What it does, though, in a very chilling way, is once again point out that contextually, what you hear forward, in this case, I'm sorry to say, is and appears to be consistent again with what you hear in reverse. David Oates, and we are in the middle of Reversals of Harlot, who I am convinced was a Satanist. David?
Yes, I'm convinced of that too. We've got about another 20 more to get through here, and then I've got some very important announcements to make after that. So let's just keep on going here, and then we'll talk about what's happening in the world of reverse speech.
All right.
All right, here we go. This is actually, I laughed at this one. She's talking about people who enter politics almost seem to have a Christian background.
Unless a political person who's wanting to get up into the hierarchy of politics and government control, if you will, almost seems to have a Christian background.
And she says, smiled, God mischief. In other words, the inference is they're using Christianity or the pretense of it to get to politics, and she likes that.
Sure.
God mischief.
Well, God mischief.
Yes, very much okay. Very easy to hear.
Pretty clear. Now, the next two are out of character. It's almost like every now and then she slips into this other mode, and she's not totally, completely congruent with her position. There is a side of her, and you'll see with this and a couple of other reversals that is not a Satanist through and through. And there's about two or three of these, but mostly, of course, they're of this satanic type reversals. And I just want to point something out to you. You said something before the break about the congruent nature of reverse speech. I need to point out that in all the programs I've been on with you, never once have I played a reversal that has the word Satan in it. This is the very first time that has ever happened. And I want to say that to really stress the fact that this is not a reverse speech as such is not a satanic occultic phenomenon. It is literally reading the minds or the unconscious of the person speaking. And this is the first woman who the first person I've analyzed who genuinely does profess to follow Satan. So I think that's an important point to make.
All right.
Okay.
It's unjustified. I think that as human beings we are unfairly punished at the hands of a creator who is not perfect.
Now this reversal seems to be almost sympathetic toward God. It says, cry, you've made him exhausted.
Are you
hearing that one okay?
No. Do it again, please.
Okay, let's do it again.
Are you me, let me say that?
No? I'm having a hard time with that one.
Huh, how interesting. Okay. Do what the one
are you me, let me say that?
Okay, all right. Well, there's normally one reversal each show I've done that you haven't been able to hear, so So we'll just move on to the next one. And, you know, it's an interesting and on that point, you know, I don't claim to be 100% correct with this, you know. I mean, it's an acquired skill that you learn as time goes on. I mean, I think my accuracy rate is fairly high.
So do I.
But, you know, I mean, anyone who claims they're 100% correct needs to go and have a serious self-examination. This is an interesting verse about Jesus himself.
Jesus said, every time I say that name, he said, for the Father in heaven knoweth all.
And the reversal says, hell, and I was scared to meet him. There's no H on the him. I was scared to meet him.
Now when I was scared to meet him.
Oh, that's very
now when I was scared to meet him.
Hear that?
Very, very, very clear, yes.
Yeah, very significant reversal. So, you know, she's not as tough as she wants to pretend. There's a fear there. I mean, she talks about wanting to burn in hell and wanting to reject Christ and wanting the second death. But this reversal has fear. It really does. Let's run that forwards again in reverse because it's so significant.
Jesus said, every time I say that name, he said, "For the Father in heaven knoweth all."
And hell, and I was scared to meet him. Okay, alright.
Very clear.
Very clear. Now she's, the next one, she talked about going to churches and sitting in the congregations and we get back to the harlot who we have come to know on your program and some of her motives. That was all. And here we go.
I have went into churches, like I said, coast to coast. And I have been to these churches and I have sat in their congregations. I have become active in their churches.
But reversal says that she was, forward she's saying she was active in the churches, but backward she says fed massacre. So, you know, part of her motivation to massacre or destroy the Christian faith, I would imagine.
Yep.
This next one is just an incidental reversal. There's no real significance to it. It just reverse speech will often give extra information behind an act someone is performing or something they're talking about.
He's in the war room, what we call the black room, right now.
The black room.
That's where we practice unholy arts.
Okay, that's where we practice unholy arts. And backwards, she says, we wore satin. I guess this is some ritual they're performing.
We wore satin. We wore satin.
Okay.
Strikingly clear.
Yeah. And,
we wore satin. No question about it.
We wore satin when they were in their unholy room. Now, the next reversal is on you, and I think about this time you're really wondering how serious this woman is, and that's one of the reasons why you sent me this tape and was really quite anxious to get the reversals on this.
That's right.
I just shivered. You have hitchhiked across the country, spreading evil in what form, Harlot?
And reversal is need oats.
Need oats.
Need oats.
Need oats.
Need oats. Actually, you know, again, David, you can believe that I was thinking of that almost all through the show.
Oh, really?
That this is a Class A candidate for reversal, you bet.
Yeah, well, there it is. It came out in your reversals. And, you know, and on that point, I want you to note that the reversals I played on you, you totally connect with. You were aware of thinking and feeling that at the time.
Correct.
And that also applies to the reversals on the other people that we are playing. We are actually accessing their thought processes. And it really is how reverse speech works. Quite an amazing technology, I'm sure you'll agree.
I do agree. How far through?
Well, we have a few more to go yet. Do you want me to just rush through them or pick out the highlights?
Pick out the highlights of what you've got on Harlot.
Okay, alright, we'll skip some of these. The rest of them are on the website, and Keith Rowlands, they've got the new site up. You still can't get it from my old address, reversespeech.com.
It's alright, I have already checked, David, and if people will go to my website right now, www.artbell.com, scroll down to the guest area and click on your name, they will be taken immediately to the new website. It's a beaut. Everything Keith Rowland does is a beaut.
It's just fantastic. I'm just so grateful to Keith. And the entire Harlot transcript is up there, plus TWA 800. There's some reversals there for the new British listeners. I've just debuted in England on the largest talk show in England on talk radio. It got just tremendous response, been inundated with email, the station inundated with letters, and I know many of the British people are listening to your show tonight. Okay, here we have another soft side of Harlot.
That's not the grand scheme of things. God needs an opposer. God needs it, or he would have never existed to begin with.
But the verse says, mend little wee heart within.
Mend the wee heart within. Mend the wee heart within. Mend the wee heart within.
What does that mean, though?
Well, her little wee heart. See, this is the part of her that's scared of meeting Christ. Hell, and I was scared to meet him. Be honest, I want a son. And there's a small part of her deep down inside, the little wee heart, the real soft, genuine harlot or patsy, I would choose to call that part patsy, that really does exist. And she wants that fixed. She wants that little wee heart inside of her mended. And that's exactly what it means. She's not evil through and through. And mind you, a large part, proportion of her is. But very interestingly, just as she says that reverse about mend the little wee heart within, she actually lashes out again with a completely opposite statement just a few seconds later.
He was allowed to do that because even in God's makeup of what he is, in his existence, in his essence, I find him to be more than just jealous now.
And then she says, say, eat hell again.
Say, eat hell again. Say, eat hell again.
You can hear the anger in that.
Yes, you certainly can.
Yeah. We'll just play a few, just about three or four more. I'm just running through, picking up some highlights, what I think are significant reversals.
Sure.
In this case, she talks about getting up in front of a congregation and talking about God. And we're just bringing that file up now. And we have it, and here it is.
If I had to get up in front of a congregation and preach about God, I would. If that meant, in the end of it all, upholding Satan in the end.
And reversal is name that trick.
Name that trick. Name that trick. Name that trick.
Wondering who else is performing that trick on our pulpits too. It makes you wonder, you know.
Yes.
She got very excited when a Wiccan ran in. And I've got a couple reversals on some of your callers, here is when the Wiccan ran, when the Wiccan called in, she says this forwards.
Well, I'm not talking about
church.
I'm a practicing Wiccan.
Oh, goodness, would you please come visit me? Can I give you my address? I would like to see you, sir.
And then she says, begin to serve my grief with defended warlock. Very long reversal. Can you hear that one okay?
Yes, clearly. Warlock, yes.
Yeah, and this woman is looking for help. You know, mend my wee heart and a defended warlock. This is a reversal on the caller that really quite stunned me when I heard it. And the Christians need to take great note of this whole program.
I'm on the other side. I'm a believer in God. I totally 100% praise Jesus' name.
But where he says, I totally praise Jesus' name, backwards he says, that man is the beast.
That man is the beast
was as clear as could be.
And this is what he says forward. Let me play the forwards again.
Totally 100% praise Jesus' name.
And, you know, I mean, I don't want to make a statement on this, so the reversal speaks for itself. You know, we need to examine our belief systems very closely.
I
don't even want to touch that one.
No, I wasn't going to play it, but several people suggested I should, so I did. We're almost out here. I'm just picking up some. I'm just picking up a couple more of the highlights. She talks here about inflicting pain on her own body. We'll run that.
I love pain. I inflict pain on my own body, and it motivates me well.
And reversal built me up. I mean, speaks for itself.
Built me up. Built me up.
Yep, me out.
Okay, let's just look at two more reversals, directly connected to the Christian church, I think. This one is, she's talking about the, oh no, this is actually one, another caller who called in. We will, she's talking about the church as an entity. She doesn't agree with the 90% of the churches.
In an entity, the church as a central location is, how should I say this with tact? I don't agree with 90% of the so-called churches in the world today.
And reversal is Satan Shackle.
Satan Shackle. Satan Shackle.
I mean, and there's a...
Satan Shackle.
Yeah, and there's an argument that can be made that that the church structure, well, you know, I don't want to get into that either. We're just
too, absolutely too congruent for my taste.
Yeah, you know, actually, I'm probably one side of me you don't know, Art, is I'm a prolific author. I've written probably at least 15 books in my lifetime, only two of which are published. I've written a series of science fiction novels, and there's one book I wrote about 5 years ago called Apostasy and Golden Pulpits that goes into the analysis of the church system, the church structure, and part of the conclusion I come up with is that it really is a Satan shackle, because we've all been caught in this structure. So, and just one last reversal, and this is a reversal on you, right at the end of the program as you signed off, and this is it for Harlot.
I think that it did Christians a great service to hear this.
And reversal, it's a verse. In other words, it's a spiritual message.
It's the verse. It's the verse. It's the verse.
And there we go, my friend.
Well, that's enough for me.
It's enough for me, too. This is, of all the projects you have given me to do reversals on, ranging from NASA to Victor to, I mean, we've done a lot over the year. This was the toughest one I've had to do. I really had to force myself to go to the tape player to do it. As you know, you asked me a few weeks ago, and it's taken me a long time to get to it, because it's just been a tough one to do. See, when you do tapes, when you're actually doing the reversals, as much as you try to be objective and not get into it, unfortunately you really do. The reversals take on a life of their own sometimes, and I find myself deeply affected by some of these reversals. And
how could you not be? All right, David. Hang tight. We're at the bottom of the hour. That, folks, was Harlot, and that was enough for me. How about you? We will take some calls, and we will get ready, because, boy, have I got something for you. It occurred, actually, fortunately, I know exactly when it occurred, during the reversals of Harlot, and just before the bottom of the hour, the weirdest thing that I've ever seen just happened. Get ready. If you have access to the internet, let me tell the audience. We have on my website something called a webcam. I have three cameras in my studio. One, two, three. And one takes a side shot, one takes a front shot, and one takes a shot from, not quite in reverse, but toward the back of the room, toward the front of the studio. Let's see, this shot that I'm talking about now would have been the side shot. It was taken at, according to this, 1:26 and 21 seconds. In other words, about 10 minutes ago. And, you know, I have a monitor here, and we were getting these reversals on Harlot, and I happened to glance up at my own photograph, the one it took, and I said, what in the hell is that? And I quickly reached over and froze the photograph and stopped the sequence.
And I called Keith during the break here, Keith Rowland, my webmaster. And I said, Keith, would you do me a favor and take a look at that photograph? Now, I'm a smoker, all right? I smoke cigarettes, and I don't apologize for it. All the anti-smokers, you can go pound dirt. I smoke. That's the way it is. Maybe one day I'll quit, I don't know. But I was not smoking in this photograph. And there is... Oh, God. If you look at this photograph of me, around the whole top part of my head, there is something utterly indecipherable. Had I been smoking, you would have seen the trail of smoke obviously going up there. I've had Keith save this photograph. You go see what you think of it yourself. It's the damnedest thing I've ever seen. I just barely caught it and froze it. Again, this photograph was taken by my webcam at 1:26 and 21 seconds, 12/19/97, because we've got the date stamp and the time stamp at the bottom. You go take a look at that yourself. Go to my website right now. And David Oates, if you happen to be out there and you can get on the web, do it now. Go to www.artbell.com. And I think what's happening is right now we're really loading up on the server. Take a look at that photo. If you don't get it now, I'm going to leave that there tonight. I'm not going to turn the live cam back on right now. I'm going to leave that up. So go take a look at that photograph. It was just taken, and it is. Get up there and take a look. On the left-hand side, you'll see Studio Cam. Just click on it, and you'll see that photograph, I hope, if we haven't created too much congestion on the net. It's freaky. Really freaky. Absolutely Fresh Flowers is... Here's an amazing...
I am, and looking at that photo, that's pretty creepy. You know, and I gotta tell you, I've had the last 4 weeks of my life have been absolutely bizarre. And I don't know whether that's connected with doing the reversals on this tape or not, but I've had tensions and chaos for no reason, just spring up out of nowhere. Strange odors in my house. It's been very bizarre. I'm very glad to be done with this harlot tape. I can tell
you. Yeah, I am too. I mean, look at the time. Look at the time of that. 1:26:21.
Yeah.
Pacific time. And how would you account for that?
There is no way you can account for it that I can see. It's I've learned over the years to not underestimate. There is a whole other world out there that we have very little contact with, you know, and some of the deeper levels of reverse speech get down and explain that.
Go back once more, just once more for me. There's one I want you to play. It is the most profound moment I thought of that whole show when she was talking about her baby who was dead, and that she had ensured he would go to hell.
Right. Yeah, I just went and grabbed the transcript to find the file.
And then we'll be done.
Yeah, okay. That's probably the most significant reversal of all.
Significant part of the whole program, so I'm not surprised.
Yeah, okay, so here that is.
My mind, he has gone to hell. Right?
How can you say that? Why? Based on what?
Based on the simple fact that when he was born, I performed a certain ritual.
And reversal is, I'll bless him with Satan.
What's the
Ugh. I mean, you know, that really sums up the whole interview, I think.
Yeah, I'm really very glad to be done with that. David, there are going to be a lot of people who have all the normal questions about reverse speech who are just hearing it tonight for the first time.
Yep.
David, how would people email you?
Well, they can email me at backwards@reversespeech.com. backwards@reversespeech.com. You can also phone my office at 1-800-669-5789. That's 800-669-5789. Sometimes that line gets jammed, and if it's jammed, you can call through on our main number, which is 760-732-3097. And either of those two numbers will get me, 800-669-5789 or 760-732-3097. I've received a couple of emails since I've been on the air, one of them requesting reversing machines. We do sell the equipment to find reversals. We actually have just brought out a brand new machine. They actually hit our office tomorrow morning. They were shipped yesterday. Today. It's a machine with a built-in speed control and counter, a built-in speaker. It's just really a fantastic machine, and we'll have them as of tomorrow. A couple of announcements I'd like to make. I'm lecturing in Portland on Saturday night. I believe we're practically sold out on that. I know it's. I know there's a few hundred people attending. You call my office for details on that. I also have my annual reverse speech convention that's coming up on January the 2nd, the 3rd, and the 4th. That's in the Los Angeles Arboretum. Richard Hoagland will be there, as well as Dennis Gersten, who has recommended me to the Nobel Committee, a fascinating, riveting speaker. Eldon Taylor will be there too, who you've had on Dreamland.
Oh yes,
talking about subliminal messages, and we're going to look at some of the connections between that. But the prime reason for the convention is I'm really throwing reverse speech open. I've held onto this very tightly for many years, and but my baby has come of age now, and I want to form a committee and a research organization. There's a whole bunch of reverse speeches out there now. There's new reverse speech websites springing up all the time, and I really like to make an appeal to all those people out there doing reverse speech. Let's all get together and pool our resources. Because together, if we're combined, we can make a strong impact. And I am willing to and ready to let reverse speech go and bring us all together. And that's all going to be happening at the convention in January 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. And once again, you can call my office at 1-800-669-5789 for the convention, the Portland lecture, to inquire about reversing machines, books, tapes, vids, videos, et cetera, et cetera.
All right.
Thank you for the opportunity to say that, Art.
All right. You're welcome. I'm kind of shaken up, actually, by that stupid picture. David, take up the rest of the time through the top of the hour with playing what you would consider just some of your classic all-time reversals.
Well, I've got some of the NASA ones up on the site now, up on my computer now to play next. So let's just play some of them.
All right. So
I'll just pick and choose and float around.
All right. Now, these were two gentlemen I had, public relations people for NASA, who came on my program and answered many questions about the face on Mars, Richard Hoagland's research, though they didn't particularly want to mention his name. We covered those subjects, and that's what you're going to hear now.
Right, okay. Well, the first one I want to play is they're talking about Hubble Telescope, and they're talking about the funding and how they allocate the funding of some of the projects they want to work on in the future.
Right.
Well... Okay, you press the play button and nothing happens.
The selection of visits to use Hubble is made by committees, peer-reviewed committees of other astronomers who come to Baltimore, meet at the Institute, they sort through the proposals, make their recommendations to our director.
And in reverse, okay, so they're talking about funding for Hubble, but there's also some other funding they're wanting to pursue according to the reversal, and the reversal says what's locked up with their starship. This needs to be known.
What's locked up with their starship? This needs to be known.
That's very clear.
Extremely clear. My question is, what starship? What on earth is he talking about?
You know, the one that probably struck me more than any other was they were talking about the face on Mars.
Right.
And the reversal, if I recall correctly, contained the word Cydonia.
Right.
Now, that is totally, utterly impossible. Unless reverse speech is real, Cydonia is not a word that would pop up out of garble. No way in hell.
And in point of fact, you know, I have never heard the word Cydonia in reverse speech except for this one occasion, and it still remains the only occasion I've heard Cydonia. And for those listeners who don't know, the face on Mars is located in the region known as Cydonia. So here he is talking about mapping the surface of Mars.
Shortly after it got there, when the mapping began that year, Viking Orbiter 1 sent back the picture, and somebody noticed it on there, and it was kind of a neat thing.
And the reversal, where involved with Cydonia?
Very involved with Cydonia. Very involved with Cydonia.
You know, and this is a NASA spokesman who claims they've got no interest in in the face of Mars or the Cydonia region, but here it is in their own words.
Very involved with Cydonia. Very modest, wouldn't you?
Impossible.
Right. Exactly correct. Exactly correct. And, you know, there's the Mars missions, too, is not exactly, according to the reversals, what it appears to be. And I need to point out, too, that a lot of the stuff I've found on NASA has been independently corroborated by Richard Hoagland. Research.
Correct.
Which just adds even more credibility to this whole field. And here they are still talking about the face on Mars.
This feature that looks like a face, I believe, is about a mile across.
Okay.
And it's way below Hubble's resolution. The resolution we have is good for sort of global monitoring of Mars and sort of looking at Mars as a weather satellite would look at Earth.
And the reversal is here, we're riding a shielded vessel, talking about the mission to Mars that at this stage hadn't yet landed.
We're riding a shielded vessel. We're riding a shielded vessel. We're riding a shielded vessel.
Now, I had no idea what that reversal meant, but if you go to Richard Hoagland's site at enterprisemission.com, he's got some stunning photographs there that really probably answer well.
We're riding a shielded vessel. David, I just received something that I need to pass on to you.
Yes.
With regard to the FBI reversal on Flight 800,
yes.
Remember the line, we flogged the wing?
Yes.
From Greg in Seattle, Art, flogging, in quotes, is advertising / business vernacular. It means roughly to aggressively sell or support or to push a particular product, ad, concept, or position.
Huh. We flogged the wing.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit lost on how that connects.
Well, in other words, they're spinning it.
Oh, right. Okay. Yep. I think that's exactly what's happening. You know,
yeah.
And I've received several emails since I've been on the air. Let me read just one of them. David, that was an outstanding reversal on the TWA-800 on Art's show just now. I think you may be right. Something is terribly wrong. It appears our government was part of something very evil. That is sad. And that was just one comment from the TWA reversal.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, quite amazing stuff. Let's look at a couple more of these NASA reversals. This is about the face on Mars.
You don't have a whole lot of pixels covering it, so, you know, these aren't the best pictures that you can make some kind of a determination.
And they obviously wonder what's going on there. Now, this is two reversals I've got back to back here, so there's actually, normally there's a little bit of gibberish separating these reversals, but I've just spliced it. This one says, worst thing are they hiding a fort. It's two reversals with just a second or two of gibberish in between them.
All right, thing. How are they hiding a fort?
And, you know, it's a question, the worst thing, worst possible case scenario. What is there on the face of Mars? Who are they? Are they hiding a fort? It just raises all sorts of interesting questions. And let's just look at one more reversal on that line. And if we've got time, we can look at some other Mars reversals. We had some classic ones over the years, over the months. This next one is also about the face on Mars, and we're just loading that up right now, and here we go.
And for the record, I think it's interesting that if you look at some Mars pictures, you find Kermit the Frog and a couple smiley faces on Mars. So personally, I've never been convinced with this.
I see.
And this reversal says, these ships are on it, but nobody's getting answered. What ships?
What ships indeed?
Indeed, what starship? I mean, there's a whole bunch of questions here that need to be answered. I was really thrown into this whole Mars UFO business.
Cold.
I really was, and had no idea what I was finding, or had no idea what was going on, and my whole research into this has uncovered this incredible extra scenario that's going on. There's a whole other intent, a whole other field of knowledge and research that the public certainly isn't being told about, that strongly hints at I don't know how to say this, but contact with UFOs and ETs, knowledge of other civilizations or past civilizations on Mars, just a whole bunch of unanswered questions that must be answered as time goes on. And let's look at a couple more. These are some of the Mars conferences. There's the classic reversal, of course, that caused a lot of commotion at the Richard Hoagland conference in Pasadena, where the infamous Man in Black incident occurred.
All right, go right ahead.
Then set even greater land distance rover records on Mars by going a full 6 meters in autonomous fashion, as will be described later, over to this region behind these two rocks named Calvin and Hobbes.
Two reversals here. The first one says, reveal the dark city.
Reveal the dark
city.
Yeah, now when I found that reversal, I had absolutely no idea what that meant. And I've since, of course, become quite good friends with Richard Hoagland, as you know, and he's got some stunning reversals on his photos on his website that appear to show the remains of a city.
All right. We've just about blown this hour totally away. So what I would like to do is hold on to you, David, and when we come back, I would like to let the audience ask you some questions. We'll intersperse further reversals. Maybe they've got requests, because I know you've got a big file. So how about we open the lines?
Oh, sure. I love taking calls.
All right. To David Oates. David John Oates. David, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Getting inundated with emails here. I've never received so many emails ever on any of your programs. I've got one here that's a thought on the photograph on your website, okay?
Yes, sir.
From Dennis Gersten, who's going to be lecturing at my conference. He says, I believe the effect on his studio cam is what is called a thought form, something well studied by the theosophists at the turn of the century, is something that I discussed in detail in my book. That is, I believe this mystical light shown over Art's brow is being generated by his thoughts, although they may be generated by the powerful thoughts of others. So it was just an interesting comment.
Well, you know, David?
Yes.
I don't even know
I don't even know right now that I want to talk about it much more.
We'll stop it.
Let's go to the phones, all right?
Okay.
First time caller line, you're on the air with David Oates. Hi.
Yes, Art, how you doing? The best of holidays to you and your family. David, you as well.
Thank you, sir.
Where are you?
I'm in the heart of the gold country. This is JT in the heart of the gold country.
What is the heart of gold country?
The Sierra Nevadas, okay. Grass Valley, California.
Very good.
A question for David, first off.
Yes.
If I were to join you at the end of January, pay the money.
Yep.
Take your course.
Yep.
Satisfy all your requirements.
Yep.
Would it be possible for me to receive the accreditation from you without signing your code of ethics?
Oh, very good question. With the code of ethics is being completely revamped right now.
Can you explain a little bit the need for it that you feel?
Well, reverse speech as such is a very dangerous technology.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I would think that would be the exact reason you would want to eliminate something like that, which is limiting the people that can help you and help protect you in a time when you're could be in danger.
You're absolutely correct. The way the code of ethics has been worded in the past has been limiting, and that I'll put that on the topic at the convention. The answer to your question is yes. I think there has to be some protection for privacy, though. If I was to want anything in the code of ethics, it would be to protect the privacy of private conversations.
I would think there's many examples, Sony with Beta, Apple computers, to try to limit the technology, the discovery, I think would only hinder you in your progress with this.
Yeah.
One more question.
I'm very open to that suggestion, by the way.
Good. Well, good, because that gets me closer to getting the accreditation that
I
need to move further with what I'm doing with it. And that would be a great help to me.
Yeah, I would say generally the answer to that question would probably be yes.
Okay.
That's one of the topics we'll be discussing at the convention.
Well, that's good to hear. One more thing. Jimmy Joe, our Area 51 pilot, I did reversals on him, and I have a package together that now that I've contacted you, Art, and David, maybe you too, I'll send them off to you now that you know who I am. I believe Jimmy Joe, given the nature of your program, Art, and the nature of your listeners, I view Jimmy Joe as a hero. I believe that he did what he said he did. The reversals that I got off of his conversation with you all the way up to the end were as hair-raising as anything that I've heard transpire to this point. And that's my feelings on that particular situation. The caller where your show went down, from my reversals on him, I viewed him as a fraud, not necessarily as somebody without the power to knock your radio station out or your satellite out, but somebody who,
of course,
they both have, reversals that are the same. In the caller, I'm convinced that his original call was so spastic he was trying to avoid being reversed is my feelings on it.
Hmm.
And one reversal I pulled out from that original phone call was, flip for head side up. Or wait a minute, I got it right in front of me here.
Yeah, I wish I could comment on that. I can't get access to that file right now. Jazz drive crashed with all that data.
But anyway, what I had come across was flip for head side up, and it was the same reversal that I got off of one of Steve's. In other words, they had the same unique phrase both on the caller where the air went dead and on Steve. And it was the exact same phrase and led me to believe that maybe these two guys know each other outside of time traveling, to say.
All right, my friend. Thank you very much for the call. Wildcard line, you're on the air with David Oates. Hi.
Hi. Merry Christmas to you both.
And
Merry
you.
Christmas to you, I'm the caller that called in during the Harlot conversation that you did the reversal on where it said that man is the beast.
Right. Oh, good. Maybe you can help shed some light on that.
Whoa, geez, I wish I could. The only thing that it kind of baffles me because it's kind of like a, I don't know, it's really freaking me out because I really honestly searched, like right after you played that, I searched inside and I was thinking like, what, you know, how could I possibly be thinking that in terms of what I said?
Right.
And the only thing that seems to make sense, because even when I was just first starting to research the Bible and Jesus Christ and everything else, I found him to be a remarkable man. I found him to be a man of total peace in every way. So, even before I believed anything about God, it was, I never had any kind of offensive thoughts about him. So it really confused me. And the only thing I could think of is when I came onto the program, one of the biggest things that, was going through my head at the time was that, I'm confronting, the devil in a sense.
Yeah.
Because I really believe this woman to be, a Satan worshiper, and I am not, by any stretch of the imagination. So it's really freaking me out. I'd also like to add that I really 100% believe, that this technology is definitely going to make a lot of headway as well, in how we examine ourselves and so forth. I believe that we have to have some communication with our brain in some way, while we're speaking, because, when we're speaking, we don't hear that inner voice that we all hear. It goes away.
Yeah.
It's like we open up our brains and, so I kind of thought after hearing the first program with you on that possibly maybe because we're opening up our brains and we're exuding information out, somehow maybe when we're speaking, we're also communicating back to the brain.
Just to help you with that reversal, but I want to tell you something that happened to me many, many years ago. When I first started doing reverse speech, I was fairly active in churches. I was a youth pastor, and I had some reversals on me. This was probably back in 88, 89, that really slammed my whole belief system. It was devastating to me, absolutely devastating. I went into shutdown for several months. It caused me to completely rethink my whole approach to life and my faith. Reverse speech is not easy. When you get down to the deeper levels, it's like a two-edged sword that pierces your soul, and it really causes us to rethink things. It's difficult to draw an argument just based on one reversal. You could actually be referring to Satan in that reversal,
Well, I'm not as bold as to say that, I'm not looking to, I guess, make certain excuses, but I did feel the need right away to speak with you because one of the questions I had wanted to ask you was, did you find any other reversals
during that?
Huh?
What are you talking about on your phone call?
Yeah.
No, that's the only one that I can recall finding. I didn't look at it very closely. I was primarily concerned with Harlot's reversals, but that one just,
right,
as I was running it back, I heard it and it just stuck out at me, I've been through the dark night of the soul with this stuff, and it's shown me all my skeletons in the closet, and it's hard to deal with. It really is, and I take my clients through this in my practice all the time. It's a side of me that probably never gets talked about on the show, but it's, reverse speech is tough. It really is, and
yeah,
it really forces us to examine ourselves very closely.
All right, caller.
Can I just add one thing for you on the topic of this El Nino?
Yes.
I'm calling from Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada.
Oh.
Usually when we, this is like just right above Fargo. Basically, usually at this time of year, we're under about 3 feet of snow. Well, we had rain yesterday and you can still see the grass.
You've got to be kidding.
I'm not joking.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with David Oates. Where are you, please?
This is Troy in Columbia, Missouri. Good morning, Art.
Good morning, sir.
How are you? I had a thought on the reverse speech that was played earlier where they said, we flogged the wing.
Right.
I was listening to that and it sounded to me like they almost said, we flubbed the wing. which would indicate maybe a suppression or distortion of some kind of evidence that they might have found on a piece of the wing.
Hmm.
I thought that might be significant, particularly if it was a surface-to-air missile that brought the plane down, because sometimes they have a proximity fuse, and an explosion could have sent shrapnel into the center fuel tank and into the wing as well.
That's certainly correct, yes.
Yeah, which might have left some telltale evidence there. So,
you know, I think it's probably difficult to really come to a definite conclusion on any one specific reversal. I think the overall trend of it, though, is that we're not being told the whole story. Something is certainly being hidden. I don't think there's any doubt about that based on the reversals that I've found so far.
I certainly agree with you there, David. And I'd like to mention, by the way, I went to reversespeech.com. And I had always been extremely skeptical about this kind of thing, and all it took was one visit there, and I was an absolute believer.
Yep.
Those sound files that you have there will make anyone a believer, so I recommend anyone go there.
All right. Thank you very much. And the new website is available only through mine momentarily. That will eventually change. But right now, to get to David's new website, you've got to go up through www.artbell.com, scroll down to David's name, David John Oates, and click on it, and it'll take you to the brand new website. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with David Oates.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen.
Hi.
Good evening.
David, Art, how are you doing?
I'm freaked out. David's okay.
Yeah, I'm doing fine so far.
Outstanding show, gentlemen. Very freaky. I heard your the picture on the website. Supposedly, I jammed next door to put you up on the website, looked at the picture, and very interesting. Very, very interesting.
Yeah.
I have a question and a statement. The question is, do you think possibly reversing maybe, let's say, would work in gambling? Let's say, like, reading, you know, like the horses, you know, reading... The thing from the horses saying so and so will finish this way, so and so will finish
you know
that
what?
Way.
I've got a client of mine who brings me tapes from her stockbroker to do reversals on it. She comes in once a week, and based on the reversals I've found, she's made some extremely successful investments. And I'm moving in that direction.
Interesting. And I do have a statement also. I have a friend of mine that's probably listening here in Phoenix. By the way, my name is Brian. Make sure that she knows who I'm talking about. I'll use a first name. Her name is Madison, and I would like to say, hey, what are you doing? Are you listening? Are you enjoying the show? I told her all about the reversals with Harlot and David, and I hope she enjoyed the show. And
well, I hope you did too, caller. Thank you. And I'm trying to rack up points with a girl. I don't know. Cheesy. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with David Oates. Hello.
Well, Merry Christmas, Art, and Merry Christmas, Mr. Oates.
Thank you. Where are you?
This is Pam in Memphis.
Okay.
I had two thoughts about reversals. The one, the guy that was just talked about, you know, he just couldn't understand his own reversal. As soon as that was played, I was going, he was thinking about how could anybody, you know, be on the side of the beast. And I really feel like he was, you know, thinking about Satan, you know, about this lady, and he really did believe she was that. The other one where Harlot says something about something out there. And to me, it sounded like she's saying, yes, this is out there, meaning Satanist and witchcraft.
Which particular verse?
It's out there.
I'm not sure which reversal you're referring to on that one.
It's one of the first ones on Harlot.
Okay.
I'm sorry, there were how many? 30? Something
about
like that?
About 30-odd. It's hard to pinpoint that down.
All right, we'd have to go back and review that, man. Thank you very much. David, hold on. We're at the bottom of the hour once again. strange night. Well, I'll tell you, I've had a few strange nights in broadcasting. And this one goes down as one of those. Anyway, don't forget tomorrow night.
Okay, I've got a couple of things I need to comment on. I'm just getting inundated with the emails here. They're just pouring in. A lot of questions about reverse speech software. We have a beta version out now of the software that will actually turn the computer into a reversing machine. This will be demonstrated at the convention in Los Angeles on January the 2nd and 3rd.
All right, now so that everybody understands what you're talking about, this software, if I understand it correctly, looks through a long forward speech section, identifies where the reverse speech is. Is that correct?
That is the stage 2 software. That is not released yet, but that software is well in the progression. Point of fact, I had some update on that today, and what that version does is, yes, that reversals have a very unique tonal signature to them. I mean, as you can hear when I play them on the air, very melodious sing-song rhythmy tone to them.
Right.
With the software will detect that same tonal signature backwards in speech. So you'll be able to load a WAV file into your computer, put the software on, and it will actually find that characteristic tonal signature. It will not translate it for you, but it will find it, which will reduce the workload substantially.
Sure.
That software is still not ready to be released yet. The software that is being released now actually turns the computer into a reversing machine with instant forwards and backwards and speed control and automatic dumps. That will be demonstrated at the reverse speech convention. You can also call the office at 1-800-669-5789 to get further information on that. That should be out by January 2nd and 3rd.
All right, and again, your email address?
Is backwards@reversespeech.com.
All right.
And for that or the software, we also have a new machine out, fully enclosed, speed control enclosed, speakers enclosed.
I'm on the air.
You're on the air.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
And David.
John.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very good.
Good.
And I don't know, I'm a little nervous here, but I want to say that
I know
ever
how you
since
feel.
I first heard your first interview, it's changed my life. It's changed, I really believe in it. And, let's see. I want to ask you, David, you mentioned something about Portland, I believe, this weekend.
Yes, I'm lecturing in Portland on Saturday night at 7 o'clock. That's actually located at the Portland Conference Center.
Mm-hmm.
There's a number to call. That's area code 503.
Yes.
237-3293. I would recommend you call immediately. I know they're practically sold out.
That's what I heard you say, and I already left a message on your 800 number, and I'm very, very much wanting to be there.
Right. That will be followed up by a two-day workshop in the middle of January sometime. We haven't quite set the date for that yet. We'll just field the questions on Saturday night and see what happens. Look, thank you so much for the kind words about reverse speech. I get those sort of comments frequently. People consider this a life-changing phenomenon.
Oh, very much so.
It certainly changed mine.
And I just sent a package down to your school, if that's the right word.
Right.
And I don't know whether it means anything, but I have done hundreds and hundreds of hours, and so much energy has gone into it, and I thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Are you one of my correspondence students?
Not yet, but I really
do the wild thing. It's 702-727-1295. I've got to cut that out. We don't allow last names on there. Sorry about that.
That's why I said Jones, Art.
Oh, I see. Well, all right.
That's a quick response.
All right.
Anyway, I'm going to get off there, and I say thank you.
All right. Take care.
Thank you very much. Just on that point, my next training class begins the last weekend of January in-house. We also have correspondence courses available as well, just to follow up.
Okay. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with David Oates. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Where are you?
I was listening to the other caller and wasn't sure if I was up next or what.
You're up now. Where are you?
I'm in Edinburgh, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
My name's Aaron.
Aaron, hi.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, how are you?
I will say that I'm pretty much convinced, but I have a hard time with taking the reverse speech in beyond to the point where you would be able to prove that this is, like, say, you get a reverse on someone and you say, well, this is what their subconscious is actually saying.
Right.
I have a hard time taking it to that point and saying, well, this is actually proof, because how can you ever really prove that that was actually what they were thinking? But that's not really why I called. That's just kind of how I feel about the issue at this point, but...
Well, there's nothing wrong with healthy skepticism. Unless we constantly question, we can never learn and grow, you know.
Mm-hmm. My question actually is kind of involves Art a little bit to help me dig up the exact incident here, but I was kind of drifting in and out of sleep the other night, and you were having a weird occurrence line or something like that.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
And somebody called, and I don't remember exactly what he was dealing with. I think he was saying something about Area 51. He used to work there or something.
Yes.
And you commented that this is the only thing I really remember, other than his voice, that he was pretty much saying and corroborating something that Colonel Corso...
That's right.
Said. Do you remember that guy?
Yes, I do.
Well, I just wanted to say that his voice sounded to me almost exactly like the guy who got you knocked off the air. Like the quality of his voice.
Hmm.
I just thought that might be kind of important if anybody else thought that. And if you wanted to reverse that to see what was up with that.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. There are a lot of people who have thought they've heard that voice. Those high tonal qualities are pretty distinctive. Wildcard line, you're on the air with David Oates. Hi.
Hello. This is your man in black, Area 51 time traveler by the name of Steve. I'm back. How y'all doing?
Steve.
Oh, yeah. The last guy was talking about me, but I can assure you I don't know Brian of Philadelphia. We have never met, but I know a lot more about that.
Hi, Steve. I've listened to you both forwards and backwards.
Yes, I have something to say to you, very important, Mr. Oates. I don't hold anything against you for anything that you've ever reversed. I wanted you to know that, first of all.
Okay, thank you.
And if those men in black are giving you any trouble, well, after December 31st, it won't be my fault anymore.
And why is that?
Because as of January 1st, I will no longer be a mission commander for the men in black. From that day forward, I will be the permanent lifetime spokesperson on Earth for the Supreme Commandant, which is one of the reasons, Art, that I thought you might want to have me on as a guest sometime in January.
Well, I might. I mean, it depends on, you know, what the Commandant, of course, wants to say through you, so we'll look forward to that sometime in January. David, hold on one moment. We'll be right back.
Sure.
Are you overweight? Would you like to lose an average 8 to 10 pounds in the next month? We know... Hello.
Hello, Art. Merry Christmas.
And to you.
This is Scott in Central Illinois.
Yes, Scott.
With reference to the flogging the wing statement...
Yes.
I do believe one of the Russian fighter planes, I think it's a MiG-29, is called the Flogger. It's either that or the Sukhoi Su-27.
I think that's right.
Huh.
And we have been known to accept a few defectors in their planes. And recently, I think sometime this year, we purchased a bunch of MiG-29s from the Republic of Moldova, I think it is.
Huh.
To keep it out of the hands of the Iranians and whoever else might want to buy them.
Well, listen, I appreciate the comment. You know, this always happens, David. When we play something that we're not really certain about, we get a lot of interpretation.
Yeah, and I mean, where do you go with it? It's tough sometimes.
It is. First time caller line. You're on the air with David Oates. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
My name is Matthew.
Yes, Matthew.
I'm calling from Winnipeg, Canada also.
All right.
A lot of callers from Winnipeg.
Sure. Yeah, well, I was surprised to hear that other one, and I'm not supposed to be awake at this time.
No, you're not.
Yes, but anyways, I wanted to call concerning a couple of things. One of them, one of the backwards masking said something about Satan coming in love. You remember that one?
Right. Well, for starters, let me just correct. It's not backward masking. It's reversal.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Satan, he sends love, I think, was the reversal.
I found that very clear, only because she was talking very much on a biblical level many times. And, there is talk in the Bible, of course, of the Antichrist, and he will be revealed in peace.
Right.
And coming with an image of what would be love or peace. And I thought that would be very, clear. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Huh.
There's something to think about. And I was also wondering if it would not be possible that, these backward and, reverse speech messages, could they not possibly be spiritually influenced?
Could it not be what spiritually influenced?
Spiritually influenced.
I get asked that question all the time, and, to be frank, I try to avoid it. Ultimately, we don't know. Reverse speech is an unconscious function. I guess what I'm trying to do is to get the theory accepted that this does exist. What its source is will be a debate for philosophers for eons to come, I'm sure. It's possible, I guess. But I just don't know. I stick to the mainstream line. This is the unconscious mind speaking. But then the question arises: what is the unconscious? I mean, that's the only way I can answer that.
All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with David John Oates.
Let me get my radio here.
Get that radio. Turn that sucker off.
This is Dylan from Lynchburg again.
From where?
Lynchburg.
Lynchburg, yes,
yeah,
sir.
I called you the other night. Anyway, I had a question for David.
Yes.
I was wondering if you, you took a paragraph and independently had two separate people read it.
Right.
It was the basic same articulation.
Right.
I wonder if you would get the same reversals from the two of them, or how would that work?
Well, that's been a test that's tried many, many times. If you can articulate it as closely as you possibly can, you may get something that sounds similar, but the fact is that no two people do speak alike, and intonations vary dramatically from person to person. We've been able to get something that sounds something like the reversal after many attempts of speaking it exactly right. You know, it's interesting. I had that very question was asked in one of the lectures I did live on the Neil Armstrong reversal. Someone wanted me to say that publicly and reverse it, and I did. And we got a reversal out that said, "This is a gamble, which is exactly what I was thinking at the time. I've had people who've gotten close, but generally that's the exception, and you are trying to manufacture and repeat. The fact is that no two people speak identical.
Yeah, that's true. I also had a comment. I was kind of hoping that Harlot would be listening tonight and that she would try and get through and comment on her reversals, because I found it quite interesting, and I'm kind of interested in to see what she had to say about it, and
Maybe we can get her comment. Harlot, you know how to contact me.
I hope she does, because I'll make for a good show.
Leave it at that.
All right.
Well,
Merry Christmas, both of you, and it's a great show, and I'm a faithful listener, and I'll keep it up.
Thank you, take care. We might have time for one more. First time caller line, you're on the air with David Oates. Hi.
Hi. This is Sam up in Seattle.
Yes, Sam.
I was wondering, the other day you had a program on a natural phenomenon and people who witnessed as such. And there was one guy who called and said he reported seeing satanic artifacts in a graveyard, etc., right?
Yes.
And maybe an hour later somebody else called and warned that first individual, hey, don't be talking about that too much. You never know who's involved in this kind of thing.
That's right.
And then he said, people high up in politics and people high up in other professions, right, that might have been involved in the satanic worship. And I was wondering if anything in Harlot's, I tuned in late, I wonder if anything in Harlot's backwards speech might have revealed any more about that, about people in prominent places. And
well, David, I think unless you held something back, I think we've heard pretty much what she said, right, David?
Oh, yeah, you've heard pretty much what she said, yeah. Those reversals are pretty well straightforward, I think. There's not much interpretation needed on most of them.
Exactly. All right, David, we have no more time left, so if you would like to give out again your email address or phone number, do it now.
Yes, my phone number is 1-800-669-5789. If you can't get through on that, try 760-732-3097. We have a new machine out. My email address, backwards at reversespeech.com. Once again, 1-800-669-5789 for any information on convention, lectures, training class coming up. And that's it.
All right, my friend, it's not quite it. I have one more thing to say to you. Be careful.
Yes, I'm getting that message loud and clear. We are taking extra precautions now. Like I said, I sent my son back to Australia. It was getting a little bit too hot. I'm going to be on the Gerardo Rivero show on December the 26th. Watch out for that. Who knows what will happen as a result of
that. Well, if it was not already taped, I'd tell you, I'd give you the same advice there. Be careful.
I will attempt to do so, Art. You will be hearing much more of me in the future. That I can guarantee.
Take care, David.
Thank you, Art.
Good night. That's David John Oates, and that, folks, is Reverse Speech. Tomorrow night, Dale...